Hi, Deep Divers. June here. I just wanted to quickly say that the episode you're about to hear was recorded last week before Roe v. Wade was overturned by the Supreme Court. That's a sentence I never thought I'd say in my lifetime. And I also wanted to share that in this moment, I actually don't know what to do next. And I'm listening and I'm reading and I'm staying present and alive and awake and ready, because I don't know what my citizenship should look like in this moment. Of course, I know so many of you, and I'm included, are protesting if we can with our bodies, and we are donating money if we can to organizations who are doing incredible work for pregnant people. And that so many of us will be voting when we can. But in the immediate, I did want to share information on where people can continue to find pills for safe, self-managed abortions. Please visit plancpills.org for more information. And Amy Merrill, who works with Plan C and is a friend of mine, is going to be on the podcast next week, which we had already had planned. So we will be doing a deeper dive into self-managed abortion pills and sharing more information on Plan C pills. But that's one resource that in the immediate, because of course, women in marginalized communities are going to have been affected by access to abortion and now will be disproportionately affected by this ruling. And in the immediate, that's the resource I wanted to share. But Deep Divers, I'm thinking about all of you as we head into this new future. And I'm with you and listening and staying ready.
Hi, I'm Jessica St. Clair.
And I'm June Diane Raphael.
And this is
The Deep Dive.
We're about to do what women have done for centuries. We're crowding around the fire with our generous haunches. We got babies hanging off our tits, and we're going to share with you our fears.
That's right. Our joys.
Our tips on how to stay alive.
Now, Jess, we are heeding a call that no one has made.
Not a soul, but you're invited to listen.
Absolutely, because we make one promise and one promise only. We will not Google a thing.
Because frankly, we're too damn tired.
Please get ready to go on
The Deep Dive.
Jessica.
June, I'm...
I don't know. I know, I'm like, Deep Divers, what just happened in the last 5 minutes is I want to stop and I'm not sure what to do. We have had a rough start and I just want Jessica to know.
I am a rough start. I'm a total rough start.
You don't need to be any other way than a rough start.
I just am. I don't know what to do. I cannot keep it together. I want to tell you guys like fun stories about Yosemite, but like, I don't know.
I can. You know, again, like, I think that mantra, that meditation mantra really helps of like, this is the moment we find ourselves in.
Yeah. And I don't want to be every week. I mean, are we always in this moment? I hope not. But also who cares? But I think my charger is in Yosemite. Like I, the last time my computer was charged was in Yosemite.
Yeah.
And I don't know if
like
I can.
Like a bear with a charger around its neck, like walking through the woods.
I just want to tell
the Deep Divers that what just happened was Jessica was asking Jordan and Cody about every couple minutes pulling out a different cord. She doesn't have a charger. So we don't know how long this podcast will record for. We may release a 4 minute episode. Like at any moment we could be taken off the airwaves, you know, and I'll be left like, alone here. It's such a crazy feeling.
And just so you know, like wrap it up. Like just go keep going. Like keep
or
going.
Keep going. You know, I'm fine with either. I'm fine with whatever happens. But it is and so Jessica had take kept on taking different chords and holding them up to the screen and saying, will this do it? And then Cody kept on saying, but what's on the other side of that? Like, we
that's a bigger question.
Like,
what is the other side of everything? You know,
word dongle was being used. And I was like, and you just, I don't know where those chords were coming from. I expected you to start taking appliances and just like holding them
well,
up.
Well, please don't do anything. Listen, and I had like some of them were UK chords. Listen, don't blame Jordan for this because
At the 12 hour,
like I was like, can we do my chords? He's like, we don't have time for the chords. Is like a morning with you because I don't know where all the, and some of these are vibrator chords. You know, some of these are chargers, but yeah, deep divers. Here's the moment I find myself in. Like, I really want to tell you some fun stories about Yosemite. It was a seriously hilarious trip. But, you know, when I was away, Dan was with the dogs by himself and he had 3 days straight. And I have been, you know, covering up some crime scenes for him with, you know, around for the family, kind of like just going around and cleaning up various. You know, accidents, experiences. And so Emma is not well in terms of her brain is really not well. And so he was like, I really think we have to consider this. And so in the San Jose airport, I was very rational on the phone. Like, yes, you know, that makes sense. Yes, you're right. Like you haven't seen a lot of this because I've been like, you know, not hiding it, but just like
making it.
Willfully, like, yeah. It's fine. Like, it's fine that, like, she pees all the time, like, wherever she wants to and gets caught in corners. And I'll just, like, devote my life to following her around. And then and putting all of the chairs on the tables, like, we're a restaurant, like, we're an Italian restaurant at the end of the night. So she doesn't get caught. Like, it's fine.
Caught, and it, you know, what do you mean by caught? Like she doesn't know where
she, once gets, she gets caught there, underneath. She doesn't know. And I don't know how long she stands there either, like at night. So then I came home and I was like, you know what I got to do is just like, don't worry about it, everybody. I got a diaper that fits and I'm going to sleep down here with the two dogs on the couch. It's like no big deal, guys. Like everybody's fine. And so I've been down here and you know, I had a night. Now, listen, I'd cry, but honestly, there's no moisture left. I'm dehydrated from saline. And so I don't have any to give you. So one night I was down here, it was 4:30 in the morning. The puppy was up because the puppy wakes up because she paces all night long. So I'm trying to sleep in a puppy. Emma paces because, and you don't know why they pace. Yeah. It's, you don't know if they're confused.
Meatball paces sometimes. Yeah.
Or they're in pain or they're what, you know, so she's pacing and I see her. She doesn't know I'm in the room because she can't smell anything. So I'm just observing because I'm like, what goes on down here when I'm not here? And it's confusion and it's not a life. It's existing. It's not living. And then she kind of stumbled and fell next to me onto it. This is just the height of insanity. I've placed beds everywhere, dog beds everywhere. There are no fewer than 4 dog beds on the floor so that wherever she falls, there's a bed. I know this is the height of insanity. This is truly crazy. And so she fell onto one of my well-placed beds and she hasn't let me pet her in 2 years. She doesn't understand pets. And she was laying there and I just pet her, you know, at like 4:30 in the morning. And I just cried because I'm like, this isn't a life for her. You know, this isn't the life she wants. And what am I doing? So, you know, grief has just been pouring out of me. And I think a lot of it is, it's her, of course, but it's also like, you know, for 6 years when I was sick and Dan was sick, like I didn't cry. I don't know if you remember, like I was as dry as a motherfucking bone. And now it's like pouring out of me and I can't stop it, you know, and I'm finding myself in alleys, not shitting under bricks, but like sobbing. Like what, there was an alley I was just in because I have to keep leaving the house. Like I don't want anyone to see it. So like I left the house at 7 p.m. and I was just in an alley in Santa Monica, just like crouched behind a recycling bin, sobbing my brains out. Now, I know you and Casey like to cry every, like, at least 4 or 5 times a day. So, like,
yeah, like, this isn't unusual to me. This doesn't, this is...
not a red flag for you, but, like, I don't do this. And also, yeah, you like, know. Let's remember Les Mis when you guys fucking lost it. And Lennon was like, who are your crazy friends? And what is wrong
about that
mentally with them? Because we were in a movie theater and I thought we were here for a fun romp. We had gone to see Eat, Play, or Love a couple months before. It'd been lovely. We had drinks afterwards, but like the moment, dung, 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 you two started bawling so loud and holding each other. And I'm like, nothing sad has happened yet.
It's just the chords, you know.
It was so fucking weird.
People sing?
So no, yeah. Like, so anyway, I've been a wreck. I've been crazy to my family, crazy to everybody. Casey and I met to work on the book, The Art of Small Talk, which I know you're going to come actively publicly out against it, which it just is just so hurtful. You know, we did, you know, we sold it to like a real publisher, but I know you don't believe it's real. But anyway, we met at the a place that she's like a workspace.
As soon as I can place it in my pocket, like as soon as I can hold it and literally fit it.
It's going to be an Audible book. It's an Audible book. And actually, it's going to be hours long. And there's going to be lots of researchers and interviewers. And you also have to be on it. We may make you do the chapter titles just to like fuck you.
Oh, my God.
Just to fuck you. Just so you'll be forced to listen to it for like edits. You'll have to listen. That's the only way I'll get you to listen to this.
I mean,
Will I get
cut, by the way? Like, am I getting any sort of commission?
No, none of you will.
Wow.
All of you will be a part of it. Wow. And none of you will get a fucking red.
I do feel like it was this podcast.
No, come after me. Join up with the UK police, the Metropolitan Police, and come after me because you won't see a red cent. Maybe you would have had you not been so negative. But anyway, I go over to Casey. I meet with Casey and I am just not well. And she's in like a banquette, you know? You guys love also to like do all of your work amongst other people in like these cozy banquettes. So I like walked in. I was like, what is this? I thought we were going to be in like a conference room. And I curled up. I had to like basically sit on her. Do you know what I mean? I was like, Casey, I have to be touching you. Not
and
just
she does not like to be touched.
Is that true? Because she really allowed it. Oh my God.
I'm shocked. She does not like to be touched or touch.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah. Yeah.
She let me do it for like an hour and a half.
Wow.
Because I said.
You must have been a real wreck.
Lennon's out of town because I said to her, I don't need to just touch you one place on your body. Because sometimes I have to tell Lennon that. Like, I have to hold your hand. I have to put my hand on your shoulder, but also my thigh and my calf also needs to
touch I understand me. This. I understand this 1,000 times.
And she was like, you know, are you taking your shoes off? I was like, yes. And she's like, okay, but like, people
I still apologize because I feel like I brought a lot to you yesterday. And now I'm looking back and I wish I hadn't like unloaded all my own stuff on you.
Oh, no, no. You were very rude to me.
I was.
I'd love to share that. I don't have the computer energy to go find the text you wrote to me.
You can't find those receipts because it'll eat up the very limited amount of juice. I'm just glad that this Zoom didn't shut down while you were mid tears. Yeah. Yeah.
So anyway, so that's where we're at. And like, again, like, would love to tell you some funny stories about my brother and I being high and not being able to get into our Airbnb and then also renting bikes and then being so high we couldn't find the bike rental to return it. And so we were just keep doing loop after loop around the park, laughing our asses off.
Oh my God. Jessica, I know that you don't really drink alcohol.
No, it's time to do drugs.
I love the idea of you stoned. And I have some drugs I'd like to introduce you to.
I heard chocolate mushrooms.
Yeah.
I'm on board. My brother said next time we are actually going to camp. And he's like, he just kept saying over and over again, I think mushrooms would be beneficial to you. And I'm like, why? What do you think about me? But he was like, the moment shit started to get real, he was like, get high.
So I have to tell you, and you know, when I was in my post-COVID first time.
Yeah.
First time 2022, my first bout of COVID, and I had that like depression.
Yeah.
Afterward.
Yes. Which is real. And nobody
knows
about. Which
is very real. But I do think that taking mushrooms was what pulled me out of it.
My brother said that. He was like, listen, I think you've got some unresolved trauma, obviously. And I think it would help. And I'm like, and he's like, should it be you and I in the wilderness, like fighting for our lives? I don't know. But I do think you should get involved in it.
I do think, you know, most people take mushrooms in nature and experience nature that way. And that's a beautiful thing. Like, I've been taking them as a party drug, which they're not really for.
I don't know.
You know, it's not usually you take mushrooms and like go out to a bar. Like,
no, but it sounds like it's a fucking blast.
But
so
it's
yeah.
Really fun.
So yeah, you know.
Oh, Jess.
It was just like a really lovely, hilarious experience with my brother. And what's funny about the charger, and then I will stop. I've been talking the entire time, but it's like a David Mamet monologue at this point. But what was funny about it is my brother is even more disorganized than me. And so it made me laugh because when he couldn't get it. So when he picked me up, he's like, oh my God. Mind you, he cures people of blindness. My brother is a surgeon who cures, and he's an amazing surgeon. He's like 100% accuracy. Like, people come to him with like dangling retinas and like he's their final stop and he cures them. Okay.
That's a detail oriented job, it seems.
It's the tiniest, the eyeball is the tiniest thing you could possibly operate on. And if you fuck up, like you blind people. So he's so good at his job. When I picked him, I was like, oh my God, my phone's not working. And I was like, I said, is this like an iPhone 3? He's the cheapest motherfucker. He was like, oh, they finally got me. Like Apple had been looking for him to like shut his phone down because it shouldn't be working. It's so small.
And there's like no chargers that work with those phones anymore.
No. And he was like, it's not, the internet's not working. And then as we were driving, we start getting panic texts from his wife to say, guys, because he's like, oh, just ask Grace, like, what the address of the Airbnb is. And I was like, okay, but like, do we know how to get in? But like, that was like a conversation for later. And Grace is like, guys, there is no Wi-Fi in Yosemite, in your Airbnb. It clearly says this. Please call me before you lose connection.
That was deep divers. As Jessica just said, before you lose connection. Her computer died and it immediately went to black. Wow. So deep divers. I mean, Jess, just so you know, after you said you're about to lose connection, you were gone.
I know.
Honestly,
I know, like
brilliant blackout line. Like, it was so perfect.
I told you, I'm in a Mamet play. I am my own one act, and it just cut out. It's wild. I'm so sorry.
Nobody needs your apology.
Okay. Well, Dan does. He's like, what is going on? I am just so sorry that he has to witness this week.
Really fine. I mean, and then I told Cody and Jordan, I was like, Dan's texting me, but it was you on Dan's phone. You know, it was all very frantic.
Very meta.
Yeah. So I don't know where we were.
Well, anyway,
so just so you know what happened while you were gone.
Yeah.
So we were waiting.
Did you
for
vamp?
A while. For a little bit, but then I was like, what, you know, and then we're trying to figure out, like, do we release an older episode? Like, what do we do? You know?
Yeah,
and that was, she called from her phone.
I don't know where my phone is.
Let me tell you something. I called your phone and I was trying to show it to Jordan and Cody. I've never heard, it wasn't like ring and then voicemail. Straight to voicemail. It was, I called your phone and it was beep, beep. That's it. No voicemail. No, nothing. It was like the lines had been cut.
Is it at the bottom of the ocean? Like, I don't know where the phone is. And like, I just don't even know.
Wow.
It doesn't matter.
So then while we were waiting, I was like, I felt like I needed to do some self-soothing. You know? I needed to kind of regulate. And so I immediately started shopping for candles, you know, and I just spent, and I don't know if you can Venmo me because I do feel like
I do owe
$136 on candles.
I do owe you. I owe you all of that money.
Yeah.
Like, you know, you got, and also like all of our deep divers deserve a candle because this is a crazy episode that is, we should have a trigger warning about just dysregulation. Like this will dysregulate you.
Yeah.
This is not a like fun walk in the park, like being
but,
soothed.
You know, again, it's like, and you've said this before and it's so true. It's like it, I'm actually, even though I did need some self-soothing in that moment, like to see another person really flailing about, like I feel like I'm sitting pretty.
You're sitting so pretty. Exactly. So maybe this will make everybody feel better about their lives. Like you're not, don't worry, you're not as fucked up as I am. And that's also what I felt like with my brother. So like so he kept apologizing. So because at a one point in the night we might have had to sleep in his car in the park of Yosemite. Because we couldn't get into the Airbnb.
Was there a lockbox? I mean, where was the...
Well, it turns out there was a sign all along on the door that said it's the last four digits of your phone. But we didn't know that. Okay, so I'm on the phone with India, you know, Airbnbs, sourcing it out, you know, certainly to other people. And, you know, our last name is a hard one to spell. So it just took a lot to get in. And my brother kept apologizing. And I kept just saying, like, you don't understand. Like, none of this bothers me. Even
it's
like
freeing, honestly.
And like, also for me, I'm always making contingencies because I expect disaster. So I was like, I don't care if we sleep in our car, like whatever, you know, like whatever. If that's what happens, that's funny. So, but I obviously, he's used to being with normal people. So
yeah.
He was like, I'm so sorry. I can't believe I didn't print this out. I was like, no apologies here, baby. Like, I don't care.
Yeah, I understand. It's freeing, you know, when you see someone else.
He said, I'll break in. He was like, I'm going to break in. He's tall enough to get up to the second floor and to scale the building. And he said, I'll break in. And what had happened, because I posted our text exchange, but what cut off was, he said, don't worry, it's fine. I'll break in. And if the police come, I'll just tell them I have a reservation. And I was like, great. Like,
fantastic. Well,
what animals are here, really? Brown bears are, you know, basically in it pushed out of Yosemite, you know, even though it's on our flag, it's mostly black bears. They're not going to come at you and kill you. Okay.
That's great news.
There's really not any big old wildlife coming at you in Yosemite, as far as I know.
It also seems like you're really becoming, as you get older, more and more comfortable with just sleeping hither and thither. You know, I'm like, when's the last time you've been in a bed? You know, can we get you in a bed, Jess? Listen, I did have to break in, and Casey was so disturbed by this, but we lived in an apartment in Bay Ridge, Brooklyn when we were in college. And there was one night I came home from my cocktail waitressing job and I didn't have the keys. Nobody was answering their phones. And there was a door. There was a door with glass and then a staircase up to where our apartment was. And at a certain point, I'm like, I have no money. I'm overdrawn. And I took a brick and I threw it through the door. And I opened it up and I said, I will deal with this tomorrow. Okay? Not right now. She was so upset.
You took a brick.
I did. And then the landlady was like, what happened? I said, put it on my, you know, take it out of my deposit. I had to break in.
You're a single woman, you know?
Yeah. I'm like, it's close to 4 a.m. Like, I don't see another option here. Jess, I do want to talk to you, though, about end of life care and animals. And just, we skated by it, but.
What a bummer. What a bummer of a topic.
I know it's a bummer, but it's also a transition and it's a change. And, you know, I think the care that you've been giving Emma is so beautiful. It's so stunning. It really is. And it's very special. And I know you'll do you'll take the next right steps for her.
Yeah. And it's hard because her body, as far as I know, I'm going to go to the vet today, a lovely vet who has seen her before. And I'm going to do a scan so I can see like what's happening in there. because I don't know. And some days she's fine bodily. It's her mental state I'm concerned about, because if she is confused most of the time, I'm not interested in that for her. And a dog's sense of identity apparently is very important to it, that it know where it is in the pack, what's happening. And it's a mental thing, really, that I'm concerned about.
Of course. Absolutely. Just as important. Honestly, just as important, if not more so.
But I remember you talking, I'm not equating pets with parents, so please hear me out. There is no comparison. But what Dan was trying to ask me, he's like, I want to understand like what your hesitance is, really. Is it like you're going to miss her, or is it what? And I said, I'm afraid I'm going to feel guilty, like I did the wrong thing. And I wonder if that's a way for us to shunt off other emotions, is to feel like we could have done something different. Mm. We could have, because it seems like it's a common theme, like, God, if only I had, or, you know. And so for me to make the active decision, which of course we don't do with humans, it's like, I don't want to, that's so fun. It's like the only decision that can't be reversed, really.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. It is.
And you don't want to live with shame, but maybe that shame is just a way to cover up the deep grief and the finality of it.
It's so hard. I mean, but I do think that most people, and people do make these decisions to put loved ones in hospice care.
That's right. Yeah. You're right.
You know,
you're right.
Pull the plug and take them off of, you know, monitors and machines that are keeping them alive. People make those decisions every day.
You're right.
And,
you're right.
You know, I think the truth is, and I've been in both situations where I have both taken someone off of life support I have some regrets about certain things that happened with my dad, but I am also at peace with a lot of it. But I think the truth is that most people feel that, and most doctors do not want to be on life support. And they're very clear in their end of life directives to have as few interventions as possible. Most doctors and ICU doctors and people who are dealing with people who are on life support.
Wow.
For themselves, sign end-of-life directives that have very few interventions.
Yeah,
and that's really interesting to me. And most people on hospice wish they had gone on sooner. You know, there are there is, hospice is so, you know, most hospice care is so beautiful and so pain-free and really can deliver people, like, wonderful end of life experiences
or
pain-free,
right,
as pain-free as possible. You know, they let patients smoke and eat and do what really.
Yeah, I remember that with Lila. Yeah.
Yeah, manage their care so that
right,
they can. So I really do believe we as a culture, because we have such, you know, we're not able to really come to terms with our own mortality. It's very hard for us to do that in a, you know, in a really selfless way with others and sometimes with our pets, because we put our own things onto them. It's really hard not to, but I do not believe that you will have any regrets if you, you know, decide to put Emma down. I don't think that you will have any regrets. You know, obviously the vet's going to weigh in and, you know, but
yeah.
It is our responsibility as pet owners to make those decisions. And as you know, I made that decision for Meatball when he was in surgery. Now, it wasn't his time, and I was really fraught about it. But, you know, especially when it comes to animals who cannot advocate for themselves, it is our responsibility. And I don't think that you will feel regret. I think that you should trust that that little voice,
wise mind,
that knows. Yeah,
it's the wise mind. Yeah, and I know, even like going to the, you know, it's like, why go to the vet? I don't know. I just, for me, I need to gather all the information But I also
think that's reasonable, though. That's absolutely reasonable.
I wonder if there's something too about the guilt you feel like you're going to feel because there will be some relief, because seeing your loved one, pet or otherwise human, in pain, confusion, is so painful to you.
Yeah.
That you're like, because like every day when she gets lost or falls or, you know, I just like, it's been over us for a year or two or plus, you know, because we extended her life in August by a year now, almost. And naturally, she should have passed in September. And, you know, and I know why we did it. And I don't regret that necessarily, but her body has outpaced her mind now. And that's not good either, you know? So I think there's a part of me that's like, I will feel relief that I don't have to see her in any kind of struggle. And that almost feels guilty. Like, oh, is that selfish of me to want that to be over? You know, these are all, I'm sure, very similar feelings people have.
No, it's not, I do think like the distinction with animals, I do not believe should, we really do need to draw lines in terms of suffering and what, it is a very different conversation about like what, you know, and there are things with Meatball, even now, something came back the other week, he had his like post-op appointment and there was something weird on his blood panel and she wanted to do something kind of invasive to check it out. And I was like, I'm going to be honest with you. This dog has been through so much this year.
Right. We're not going to do.
At a certain point, like I have to come in and say, no, I'm not putting him through that. I'm not going to put him through that. So it's like, these are constantly decisions in terms of suffering that, you know, when an animal cannot speak and advocate for themselves and what they're going through, like we do have to trust our own. We just have to trust our own instincts there.
Yeah. And our maternal, for me, you know, our maternal instincts. Cause I'm like,
yes.
Yeah. Yeah. When that night was really intense and I was like,
It's very upsetting. It's very upsetting what you described. Very, very upsetting. And, you know, but I just don't think that for you to say like, oh, is it that I don't want to watch her suffering? Yeah, you don't want to watch her suffering.
Yeah, right.
Because she's suffering. It doesn't mean right. Like you can't handle it.
Right.
You know, like, but if there was a course we were looking at, like this is going to be changing, that's another thing. It's, of course you can't handle it and you shouldn't and she shouldn't.
And it's not going to get better. And that's actually why I want to ask, because I'm like, you know, there is something too to letting someone go out on a high note as opposed to waiting so that your guilt feels better for them to fully fall apart physically and be in pain.
Yeah.
You know, like there is something to that, you know, to go like, oh, it's coming in 2 months. It's coming in a month. Let's make a Irish exit here, French exit, whatever it is. So anyways, most depressing podcast ever. Reverse
well,
trigger warning.
Listen, we had our own, and now I'm looking at Meatball and I was so mad at him before. I was so mad at him, Jess.
Because did he ruin another rug or what is
it? Yeah, like I will say my bedroom there, when you talked the other day about like, oh, I can have a house I can be proud of. Like my bedroom to me is, well, it's hard with dogs. With dogs, yeah. You just can't. But my bedroom is really a sanctuary for
me. It's beautiful, yeah.
I just really the colors. And
I pay $750 a night
gives me a with sense that beautiful, of like being in a hotel.
The Beauty and the Beast stained glass window.
Yeah. Like, yeah. I just love it in there.
Yeah, it's great.
And for Father's Day, I got Paul Indian food because he really wanted it. And unfortunately, Meatball got some. And we're sitting there, and it's always in like the most lovely moments where like Paul and I are snuggled up, we're watching a show. I'm like, what a beautiful day we had. Really connected, really enjoying my space. And I hear and I look over and I don't know how. I got to yell at him right now. I don't know how he missed it, but my computer was right there. There was still like a blood spatter. There was still like vomit splatter on my computer, but it was, he could have like thrown up all over. And it was a curry yellow, like coconut curry yellow. I was like, no.
You can't get curry out. There's no way.
So, well, a rug person is up there right now. But when I tell you, so this happened on Sunday night. And the next morning, I had to fly to New York. So I was so relieved to get out of there.
Yeah.
And a part of me, because Paul's like, I can't get the rug cleaner until Thursday. I'm like, okay. And then also, please know, like that night. Uh-oh, what's Cody saying?
It's the turmeric.
It only comes out in sunlight?
What are you?
The fuck? Like, how do I get sunlight?
It oxidizes it out. Well, let's let the professionals. I know Cody's. What are you going to go to, like, the banks of the Nile and put it out there?
Yeah. I just.
And what do we can't?
Yeah.
We can't do that.
So when I tell you, like, I had to leave the next morning, I was so excited to leave and get out of my sanctuary.
Yeah, Redfin. You know? Just put, list the house. That's, I'm surprised you didn't list it.
Honestly, I wanted to. So then I go to New York and I'm, like, hearing reports that after I left that morning, Meatball was up at 5 a.m. and had thrown up all over his crate. Because we put him in the crate, and then Paul's like, the entire house smells like vomit.
Like, oh my God. Oh my
fucking God. And then Paul's like texting me pictures. He's like, we have these giant mosquitoes in the house.
What?
Like, they're literally the size of my hand.
Oh, I think those are the, I think those are like the females or something. The big ones are the females.
They're huge.
Yeah, yeah. I've seen them. They're terrible.
He's texting me pictures and I'm like, he's like, there's a heat wave. I don't know what they're. And then he's like, the ants have come out. And I'm like, oh my God. Like, I don't want to go back there, you know? And so, like, I literally was dreading coming back because I usually love going into my bedroom. And I had put a child's towel over the spot, you know?
Out, damn spot.
Yeah, I was like, and it's, when I tell you, it's right next to where I am in the bed.
I understand.
Like, you pull your feet over in the morning, like, that's what you're stepping on. I'm so upset. There's no hiding it. So they're up there right now, and I'm like, if this, honestly, if this doesn't come out.
You have to burn the house to the ground, to the studs. Take it down to the studs.
I don't know what to do, you know? So... And the tough thing about dogs is, I mean, Paul and I were having a laugh because I was like, well, the good news is I'm sure he's learned his lesson.
No way. He doesn't remember it happened.
Even there's no, he was so sick, Jess. And I'm like,
you're not going to get an apology. He's not going to not do it again.
No. Like, the exact same thing will happen again.
He's like a sitcom. He never learns a lesson. You know, like Ross and Rachel, there's no growth.
Yeah, we just reset and then play out the same scenarios. So I've been very angry with him. You know, I have. I've been very angry.
He doesn't care.
Withholding. And he doesn't care about that.
Well, because he's like, you know, he's like the, you could literally, he's like a boyfriend that's just like, okay, you want to fuck other people? I'll still be here. I'm waiting for you.
I know.
You know, I love you no matter what. It's like, he's like Whitney Houston. He's like Costner. He'll throw himself in front of you, you know, even if you don't love him anymore, he would still be there for you. He doesn't care.
He's so thirsty and desperate. He's so desperado. Now, Paul was saying the other day, like, well, when I came home yesterday, when I tell you this dog followed me from room to room, does Emma follow you?
No, not anymore. But I'll tell you who does. Cavapoo, who is now being called Naughty by Nature. That's her nickname. Naughty by Nature.
And how are things going over there?
She's a creature feature. She's always kind of just being naughty whenever she can. Whatever she can get away with, friend. And like, she'll just like pounce. She'll do like a flying, like Jimmy Fly Snooker, like wrestling move on Emma. And then I'll come over. Cookie! And she'll just like pretend like, what are you talking about? I'm just like gnawing on this bone. Like she's devious. She's naughty by nature. And she has to be everywhere all the time. She's like that movie, Everywhere,
everybody all the time
Yeah, I wish I could get at that. I heard it's never gonna changing.
I will never
life change.
Never gonna read the red tent. Never gonna see everywhere all the time. Everybody's in it. I don't know what that movie's about. I'm not gonna ever see it.
People have literally
wonderful,
been like,
yeah, wonderful. Do let me know at some point. No, you won't. Let me know how your nap goes when you try to watch that when it comes out in VOD.
Listen, we're just all doing the best we can with what we've got. And, you know, I will reveal to you that I had, you know, a total breakdown yesterday about my cooking skills and told you that I could not be on a podcast where anyone was talking about meal prep. And,
you know, I wanted to, if you don't mind, because I would love to. And again, we are going to have this interview. Of course, we had to let it go for today because I didn't think I was going to have power. And my apologies. This woman may never come on. I don't know.
I mean, I wouldn't if I were her. I feel like we've canceled on her numerous times.
It is what it is. She does have a great website, Life is But a Dish. But you told me that meal prep and the area of cooking is very, very triggering to you. And I wanted to hear more about that, actually, because I do think this is something very common. And by the way, I feel guilt about it all the time because I've been delivering nothing but disgusting meals to my family. So tell me.
Well,
if you don't mind.
Present it. It is. Is it triggering? I think that where I fall is I had made a decision, I think, a few years ago that I was not going to engage in any in dermatology where the person made me feel badly about myself.
Oh, sure.
In any sort of service where I was made to feel like I needed to be different or if I felt badly about myself.
Sure. I love that.
Yeah. And because I do think that sometimes there are services in the world, especially dermatology, but even sometimes around even organizational services, even any sort of area where people are providing a service where in order to sell what they can do, you have to be reminded of what you can't do. And
that's the opposite, by the way, of what Jordan does and what you're doing. It's like they're just like they're just like, let me give you the tools, like, but you're good. Yeah,
1,000%. And I, yes, and as you know, I have a home organizer as well, and I feel the same about her, that I feel uplifted by her work and not shamed, and that's incredibly important to me. But I will say that because I globally feel that women are asked to do way too much in this lifetime.
Agreed, my friend.
That we are set up to fail over and over and over again.
Agreed.
That I personally cannot take on any area where I am expected to do more because I feel so at capacity.
Right.
And especially when the world needs us to show up, I feel, for me, in ways that are very political. And I don't want my focus to be pulled in feeling like, especially with a daily task, and that comes to cleaning and cooking and some of those caretaking tasks where I just simply don't do them.
Yeah.
And that's, first of all, I can afford to pay people to do them, and I'm grateful for that. I feel very strongly about not being made to feel that it is my responsibility to provide meals
right
for people in my home.
Who now, does, of course, June? Who in your house cooks? Or do you get a delivery, sir? How does it work? Or do you eat out?
I mean, by the way, I do cook for my children.
Right.
But they're such picky eaters. And that's another area where, like, I can't really hear people telling me I'm supposed to feed my children different types of food, you know, than what I'm able to feed them, and or take on, like, that they should have more sophisticated palates. They should. It's annoying. I don't like it, but they're very picky. And right. so I do the best I can, and that's it.
They seem to be thriving. Nobody's falling down on the basketball court.
Who cooks? Well, and by the way, this is the most hilarious part of it is I do enjoy cooking, and sure. I'm actually pretty good at it. So when I want to, I do it, and right. I might even cook tonight, and I get a lot of satisfaction out of it. But where I feel really like ignited is around this idea that it is my responsibility to like put a family meal on the table, and that that should fall to me somehow. I'm like, oh, no. Because what that takes is not just the actual cooking, but the mental load of preparing that.
It's awful.
Ordering that.
It's awful.
Even the meals, all cleaning up, all it's of awful. That stuff is like, I don't have time for it. So
it's awful.
Paul and I will order in. Mm-hmm. We'll go out to eat.
Love it.
You know, we,
but the kids are like,
do cook,
right?
And do cook for the kids,
but you eat differently than you're eating something different than the kids are eating.
That's correct.
Yeah. I hate it. It's why I want to have this woman on, because she actually was the first site that I've found that literally is like, give me 10 minutes and I'm going to give you the world. And I'm going to do it in one pot. And I'm like, okay, because, you know, with COVID and our health concerns, we do try to cook almost every night. And that has been going on for the whole pandemic.
Wow.
And I will tell you that I've lost any desire. It is a chore. It crushes me. I hate it. My mother is a phenomenal cook. Every night was phenomenal in my house. She's also a stay-at-home mother. She would start her cooking at, 3 p.m., 4 p.m. She knew, she was an excellent, I give her a 5 stars out of 5 homemaker. And I still can't throw off the yoke of that expectation that I be both this working woman and put this dinner on the table, even though Dan and I switch off and on every other night. We both do it. But it still feels like 3 nights out of the week is 3 too many, friend. I fucking hate it. I hate it. Do you know what I want to be doing at 5 p.m.? Like sitting in a chair with a cold drink looking out on the ocean. I don't want to be fucking doing this shit.
I can't,
and yet I do it. And so it's like when they do those exercises with water, where like when they crystallize, what have you heard of this? If you say positive thoughts to a glass of water and while it's freezing, it forms these beautiful crystals that look like snowflakes. If you tell it it's a piece of shit, turns into like a blob. They've done multiple studies that your energy really actually affects the molecular makeup of a substance. And when I am serving up these meals, it's like, and God bless BB never complains, but like I feel terrible about it. But I'm like, this is as best, this is as good as it gets, and it's not good. Danielle Schneider whips up Barefoot Contessa quality meals every motherfucking night. She's great at it.
And that's great. And by the way, like, here's the thing. That's wonderful. And here's what I know about myself. If I wanted to do that, I could do it.
You have to. Yeah,
I don't want to.
I don't. I appreciate this. You keep saying things like, and I may cook for my, like, you want me to, like, know you're better than you think you're telling me you are. Like, there's no shame in this game, friend. Like, friend,
but
yes.
I also like, I guess what I worry about is, and this is why like I was sending you panic texts yesterday, is what I worry about is bringing into my space anything that because I do think women have to do so much work in this fucking world to combat negative messages about ourselves.
Oh,
in terms
yeah
of our body, in terms of like our mothering in terms of what. And so I made a decision. When I talk about the decision I made a few years ago, it was, I can do that all by myself. I have the ability to feel badly about myself for free. I can pick up a magazine and or open up Instagram, and that is available to me.
Yes.
But what I, at least I won't do is go searching for it.
Totally. And what I want you to know is, when we do have Lainey on, if she ever returns our calls, it was, for me, it's like, there are those families that they must cook every night, and I am one of them, and they are sharing that burden, I hope, 50-50 with their partners. And for those people out there, let's make it easier.
1,000% Jess.
Okay.
Again, this is my issue. This is me personally.
June.
Like, this is my issue. And I.
It's a good one to have. It's a good one to talk about and to have.
And the joke of this all is, like, as we're talking about this, I'm like, I think I might want to cook a meal tonight. And I'm
great, if it's a choice.
So it's like, that's also the crazy part of this conversation is, I'm like, I'll probably go to her website. I'm very curious about that one pot. So, you know, for me, sometimes it's a journey to get all the way back around, you know, and I might join that interview. I'm actually very much so looking forward to having her on.
I would love for you to join it.
The space.
Yes.
And speak my truth about it, because, you know, I do feel like I never want to make any woman feel like she should be doing more.
I agree. And she also, that's her thing, is do less. The other thing she does, and again, I would love it if we were to be tossing to this interview right now.
Won't be, because unfortunately Cody had to frantically text her and we were canceling.
I really shit the bed on that one. But but her thing too was, like, for cooks, like, people don't know how to cook. That's the other thing. A lot of people were raised, like, in a house where nobody's cooking. You know, you don't have an Italian nana, you know, whipping up fresh, you know, mozzarella. And for those people who would like to cook but are afraid, she's straight up teaching people how to boil water, like, make pasta. Like, and that's, I love, because
that's,
it's like,
awesome.
You don't have to feel, I think there's a lot of shame that comes around. I would like to do this, but I don't know how. And I, God damn it, I don't have the time or the energy to sit down and watch, you know, Giada put together a balsamic glazed teriyaki wing. Here's the deal. Those women, that is their job. They're being filmed to make that food.
And, you know, I'm so glad. I am actually, this is, you know, and I love now that we're doing podcasts. So some of our episodes are recapping episodes we've already done. And then some of them, like this one, are...
It's for future.
Yeah, it's like we're just prepping for an episode that, you know, again, I don't think this woman will come on after the way she's been treated. But
she's a deep diver, though. So, like, okay, she did know...
So she hears this.
Well, she did know what she was getting into. I hope she understands.
Wonderful.
Maybe my tears, like, will buy us something.
I do hope she hears this, because what you're saying now and what I'm learning about her, I'm loving, which is like...
She's the opposite of what you think.
Yes.
She's the opposite of, like, the Yum Box ladies who are like, this is what I'm making for the lunch.
I get very worried about someone telling me that on Sunday nights. I mean, I don't know if you know how destroyed I am on Sunday nights.
Oh, God. Absolutely.
Well, the last thing I'm going to do on a Sunday night
is chop up a bunch of red peppers and put them in fucking ceramics.
Even, like, think about meals. Like,
no,
that's so far from...
No, that's
what I'm capable of, you know. And I know I sent you a frantic text, like, I want to be spending that time thinking about how I can address
climate change.
And that's true too. Like, I do want to be more focused on activism than domesticity. And that's a choice I can also make, because I can financially pay for, you know, domestic work in my house. So, but
that's beautiful. All of that is to say, though, somehow you and Casey find the time to watch all of the Kardashians all the time. And you guys threw so much shade on me because I didn't know who Corey Gamble was. And you said, if you don't know Corey, then you don't know
Chris. And if you don't know Chris,
you don't know
any of the sisters. And then
you don't know them.
You don't know us.
Yeah.
And that remains true.
Yeah. So it's like, okay, like, yeah, you don't have the time. Okay. And activism and climate change, et cetera. but somebody has the time to put themselves in an infrared sauna wrap, okay, and watch every single minute of the Hulu, okay?
I don't want to do this.
Okay, somebody, okay? Somebody has some time.
I do not want
because
to have
I have
hours.
Been very busy, okay, living a full life that I didn't get to dip into the Corey Gamble, but do I know exactly what's happening with Chloe? I can't watch the show. I'm following them on every other platform.
Okay, that's
I'm there for them.
That's what I guess I wanted to understand. So you're, because you do seem to have, and I said this at the beginning of the podcast with Casey, you seem to have some information.
I watch some clips. I watch clips of their show, like the highlight reels. I'm always Googling to see what's up with Chloe, what's up with Kim. I don't care about Courtney. I know you could ask me what Chloe's hair looks like right now. I know you don't. You know, ask me what Kim said on the Today Show. It was lovely. She just went on a wonderful getaway with Pete Davidson. And she said it was just nice to be away from her four kids. She goes and she said to all those moms out there, you know what I'm talking about. Okay.
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 Yeah, it's a strange way to receive them, you know, to like get the Cliff Notes version, but okay.
Don't say it's not the Cliff Notes. It's first person it's research. Okay. It's doing a research paper on them. Okay. It's cracking open the internet, which is the encyclopedia. Okay. And cross referencing different articles.
Listen,
and
first
different
of all,
sources.
First of all, look.
Don't tell me I don't love them. Don't tell me that I'm not supportive of them.
It was shocking that you didn't know Corey. You didn't know who Corey was.
Chris isn't my bag. I don't need to know what Chris is about. Chris has lived her life.
We don't have any of them if we don't have Chris.
Okay, but Chris has lived her life. The girls are trying to make their way in the world.
If you
right
don't
now,
understand, by the way, if you don't understand like,
about
how
this.
Important she is to all of them.
I understand she is where it starts, but we don't in the Greek myths only hear about Zeus, okay? They're not the only people fucking doing things. We hear about Hercules sometimes because he's out there every day fighting that good fight. So, you know what? I tune into my own podcast. I turn into my own podcast to hear my friends talking smack about me not knowing the Kardashians. Because I'm too busy out there.
I said the knowledge
driving,
is so
thriving.
Now I understand. But the knowledge just makes me feel so unsafe. Like, you do know certain things. You know certain details. You're telling me about, you know, that they're not filming in, they're filming in the real houses now. You seem to know such granular details. And then you don't know, like, who Corey is. You don't know Rob.
I know what Rob's problems.
I don't know what.
I know Black China. I know all of it, bitch. Don't come at me with this. I just don't know Corey. Corey.
To know Corey.
You show me.
You can't say
what
I just
interesting
don't know Corey.
Thing like, Corey did to deserve my attention.
I'll tell you, Corey threatened to slap Penelope, Courtney's child, across the face one scene.
Okay, well, then Corey should be fucking put in jail.
So Corey is a very important figure. And especially after knowing what happened with Caitlyn Jenner and all of it, like, and he's also a bit of a mystery. That's true.
Chris deserves more than that. And then I hate Corey.
What I'm not going to justify how I spend my time to you. I'm not going to do it.
You don't have to.
Because there are a lot of times where I'm watching the Kardashians and also working out. I'm working out because that's part of my mental health. So that I can be the person I want to be in the world. Okay.
I didn't want to turn on you. You turn on me first,
so
bitch.
That I can
my own
lend
podcast.
My voice to the things that I care about. So I don't want to have to do this. I really don't. And then sometimes, yes, I am sitting down and just being with it, just without any other distractions. There are those times as well.
Again, I wouldn't
judge.
I know you.
I know you head to a Home Goods. And
don't fucking come at me with Portuguese. But I'm not getting on your own podcast and saying shit about you at Home Goods. Okay. I'm not doing that. I'm not saying, okay. Now, I let Casey off the hook because she let me touch her when she doesn't like touching. And I'm never going to forget that. Okay?
I will say that that is pretty, you know, it's pretty shocking that she let that happen.
Where but did I said, touch
her? You were really snuggled close to her?
Yes, I put my legs on top of hers.
Wow.
In front of everybody.
Because
everybody
honestly,
saw
like,
it.
When the 6 foot distance like protocol came down back in March of 2020, like keep your social distance became like a phrase. I was like, whoa, I know one person who's going to love this.
God, that's so wild to me because she's so cozy.
Yeah, but doesn't want people to touch her or be touched.
Just shocking to me. It's not the experience I have. Maybe we have a different and deeper relationship. I don't know. You know, all the Kardashians have different relationships with each other.
That's absolutely true. Now, listen, Jess, I think this was a good episode because it cleared the way for maybe another episode, or this is a preview for an episode that will never happen.
Right.
You know, but I do feel a little bit freer now that I've been able to put down some of my thoughts on cooking, on women and cooking.
Yeah. And I felt good getting to yell at you about something. It's just needed to yell at somebody. And I
was able to hold
it.
That.
I was able hold that space for me. Okay.
You know, and I am excited to have Lainey on. I do feel now I can join that interview.
I am so glad.
And be my most honest self.
Yeah. And take a look at her website.
This is the thing about me. Now I've come so full circle that I'm excited to go on it. I'm excited to try the recipes.
God, you know what else? I really want to get a great sharp knife. I want to start slicing things. That's going to help me.
And I would love to ask her. Again, I've come full.
Fuck. If only I'd known where that charger was. Do you want to know where I found it? Just quickly. Full circle. Dan said, do you think it's maybe shoved somewhere when you were having the babysitter come and you told me, quote, you can get this house cleaned up in 5 minutes? And I had shoved it. I had shoved everything in a drawer because this is a very, very, God, she's such a beautiful Gen Z babysitter.
And you needed to clean before she arrived?
I wanted her to like me. And think that I was pretty and also, you know, clean. And then,
because I don't call sheer cleans before the cleaning lady.
And well, of course, I didn't want to. I don't want to blame her for my cord going missing. But somebody's going to get blamed. And I was blaming BB too. I was like, oh, that fucker took my cord. You know, I kept saying to Dan, I go, we got to get on her about putting stuff back. Not touching my stuff. And meanwhile, it was shoved like where all the placemats are.
Wow.
So that's on me. There's a lot of freedom on saying, you know, I did this, I messed up. And so that's why I really do want to hear you say, I'm so sorry I said that about the Kardashians, because that's not true. And that wasn't right of me to do on our own podcast with our friend and talk that shit about you.
I'm not going to be issuing that apology today because I don't think you know what they've meant to me and Casey through the years, and that they feel like an extended part of our family.
Me too.
And so we don't know how like sturdy the ground is.
Fine. I'm going to watch every single episode of not just Hulu, but the back one. And then I'm going to come at you guys. I'm going to study, and you guys are going to be shocked at what I know. You know, I'm going to study it like Kim does for her bar exam, which she passed. God bless.
I am happy about that. And it's not now don't try to connect with me over Kim passing the bar. I know what you're doing. I know what you're doing. Okay, because it did mean a lot to me and Casey, who've watched her through the years.
It meant a lot to me. Did Kim ever stop you in the Javits Center public restroom when you were pumping and say, been there and touch your shoulder? No.
Wait, what? What?
Okay. That's right. At the USA upfronts, they invited Lennon and I, made us pump breast milk in the Javits Center public restroom. We had to plug in. She and
what was she doing at the USA upfronts?
She hosting it
for a pretty penny, I bet.
For all of it, it was not just you. It was What is USA?
Yeah,
USA part.
It was Viacom. Who knows?
Viacom. She came out and basically was like, I have one bazillion. She's the most powerful woman pretty much in media right now. And she came over and she said, been there. She saw our humiliating state.
Wow.
Okay. So don't talk to me about what I know or don't know about Kim.
Oh, I love that story. I'm not
I don't know if she touched me. She didn't touch me. Lennon's going to come at me with some New York Times like corrections. She didn't touch us. She did say it, though. She did say it.
She did say it.
You know, she's very, very mom forward and mom supportive. And I do love how she says, like, you guys know, like, you know, and I know she lives in an alternative universe.
She and she did just tell, you know, she did make a pretty controversial statement where she said, you know, basically to all women that they needed to just like work harder.
Uh-oh.
So yeah, that wasn't great.
Okay.
You know?
I don't know.
But like, I love Kim and I accept all of her faults and I accept it all. You know, it's a full package. Love that you had that moment with her. I didn't know about that.
There's a lot of things you don't know about me.
Yeah, I guess a lot of things you don't know about me. There are. You're like an onion. Oh, Jess, I do think we should wrap it up. I feel like I've both been on this podcast, this episode forever.
And well, it's been an hour and a half.
I know. I feel insane right now.
I'm so sorry.
I feel utterly insane. I don't know how long the break was where you were finding that cord.
God.
But deep divers, I really hope you have a better week ahead. And
than me. For sure.
Yeah, than Jess. We love you so much.
If anybody needs me, I'll be on one of my 5 dog beds.
Have a great week.
Bye, guys.
Let's go on the deep dive. Let's go dive in deep. Let's go on the deep dive. No secrets will we keep. It's June and Jessica going deep. How deep can you go? Oh, really deep. Let's go on the deep dive. Let's go dive in deep.
The Deep Dive is produced by Jessica St. Clair, June Diane Raphael, and Earwolf. Our producer is Cody Fisher and sound engineer Jordan Duffy. You can listen to our ad-free and bonus episodes on Stitcher Premium. And for a free 1-month trial of Stitcher, use code DEEPDIVE. And remember, the best way to support the show is to rate and review. And a huge thank you to Ann Geddes for her beautiful photo that she allowed us to use for our cover art. Please head over to AnnGeddesBaby.com and download her new app, which is a safe place you can upload and store all of your precious images of your children and share them with friends and family, plus much more.
We'll see you next time.